So, I am starting to help take care of my dad. I'm there Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And let me preface this with saying that several months ago on another podcast that I did, I talked about older parents who complained that nobody comes and sees them. Okay? And they don't understand why. It's painful. It's painful. When you don't take care of yourself and you can't go anywhere and you can't do anything but complain about it, and you're also, as the child, you're married, you have a family of your own, you work, you have other things going on. Does the parent go to the bottom of the list? Especially a parent who really can't drive anymore, or they can't see, or they can't hear, or they have chronic issues, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Why aren't my children coming to see me? I sacrificed my whole life for them, and now nobody comes and sees me. Sorry, I'm drinking an energy drink here and I get the burps. I'm sorry. So, there's a simple answer for that, but it's a painful one. And I'm telling you this because I'm seeing both sides. I see people my age and even a little older in their 50s where their parents are, they're blessed, they're still alive. And they're still driving, they're still working, they're still active, they're still coming and going to go see their grown adult children and their grandchildren. And then there's the parents that are falling apart. All right? I am seeing this today. All right? I'm not trying to be a fucking bitch. I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing two types of parents that people have in their 40s and 50s and even their 60s. Their parents are either one or both are dead and more than likely from a chronic disease. Okay? Or they're alive and well, and yeah, some parts are wearing out or. They're not as fast as they used to be, but they still get around. I'm paying attention to the older generation, and I'm talking the boomer generation. What are they like today? And why? Why am I seeing people in their 70s and 80s still driving, still walking around the block? Traveling, working part-time jobs, and then there's other parents that cannot or barely function. Why? Again, I am not being judgmental. I am not putting blame on anything because we're all responsible for our own lives. Why? Why is there two different sets of parents as I am in my early 50s? Let's take a look at it. Why is one part of boomers functioning and the other ones are one foot in the grave? My father is one foot in the grave. My father still smokes. My father probably hasn't eaten a vegetable in years. My father does a lot of sitting. But I'll tell you what, my father loves me. My father is there for me. My father is good to me. But my father's falling apart. He was diagnosed with prostate cancer stage one about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. That clearly was not a wake-up call. It was attributed more to, I'm just getting older. Okay. Then we're going to go back to, why don't my children see me? When you are not a functioning part of society, and the people that you love are going on with their lives and leaving you behind, it is not a good feeling to be at the bottom of the priority list when you're the one who sacrificed everything for them. It's not a good feeling. So, why am I taking care of my dad? I go see my dad once a week. And a few months ago, he said, several months ago, he was like, nobody comes and sees me. Nobody takes my calls. Nobody, you know, nobody cares. Nobody, you know. And I'm like, I come see you once a week. What do you mean? Apparently, I'm not enough. Because I have a sister and two brothers. I have one brother that died. And my mother's gone as well. And anyway, my dad needed a ride to the doctor's because his feet were hurting him. So I picked my dad up and I'm like, my dad's like moving slow. Like my dad is barely functioning. Like he is sleeping all sorts of weird hours, up half the night, napping all day. Like it's bad. And I told my husband, I was like, I can't stand this. My dad needs help. Like weekly help. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't see anyone. He doesn't eat right. I mean, my God. And I'm like, I need to do this. I want to do this. So for the last couple of weeks, you know, I've been there Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Hey, Dad, where do you need me to go? What do you need me to do? You want me to make you some breakfast? What would you like? I am here at your service. And I've noticed in the last 2 weeks of my coming over, he is moving faster. He's actually laughing. He's talking without getting angry. And I haven't heard him complain. And right now, I just finished having lunch with my husband. I'm on my way to my dad's. He wants the car serviced. So that's what I'm doing today, is going to get his car serviced. And I was telling my husband, I said, I cannot believe in 2 weeks how much my father, his attitude and his physical well-being has changed. And I think it's just knowing that he has somebody to depend on and somebody to talk to. Like, I have heard my entire life, you know, when things are happening on the inside, if you don't take care of your well-being, I swear to God, I cry every time I start talking. And it's the realization and the coming to terms of how important it and how important I am to myself. And if you go down the road of unhealthiness, you are no good to anyone else. And I was headed down that road in my late 40s, mid to late 40s. I was falling apart. And I made a conscious decision to A, what is it always first? Lose the fucking weight, right? Lose the weight. But I also took classes to try and educate myself on, you know, the human body and how it responds to food. And I ate a lot of junk food. God damn, did I eat a lot of junk food. My whole life was junk food. But anyway, I was telling my husband, when you are not well, I'm seeing this. I am experiencing this. Not just myself, but the people that I love. My father. There was no saving my mom. She had a chronic illness that was not curable. It was uncurable. But I'm watching my dad, and I mean zero disrespect when I say this. My dad feeling sorry for himself. My dad not being able to function well. My dad not being able to do anything for himself. My mother was a stay-at-home wife and mother for 50 years. She waited on my father hand and foot. And the last year of her life, my dad took over those duties. And now she's gone, and she'll be gone 2 years in November. But here I am watching my dad, just, I'm like, oh my God, this is not the father I remember. My dad was strong. My dad could kick your ass. My dad's bark. Oh my God. Navy man of 22 years. Don't fuck with my dad. He will fuck you up. And my dad is frail. And my dad is afraid of falling. My dad can't hear. He's almost at the point where he can't drive. Like, what happened? And how did this happen? Why? And I'm learning. I'm evolving of how much human connection we really need and how vital it is to our well-being. It is detrimental. I am watching it with my own eyes happen in front of me because I'm paying attention to myself and my father and the people closest to me. Why? How? Where? When? What? Just 2 weeks of my my full attention. My father has my full attention when I'm there, and I'm listening, and I'm helping, I'm assisting, I'm telling him, I'm here for you, Dad. What do you need, and how can I help you? I mean, he's almost done a 180. Now, he's still a little slow, but he sure as hell moving a lot faster than he was. His whole attitude has changed. Again, the human connection. The turnaround I have seen in such a short amount of time. It's like seeing that half-dead plant and watering it and giving it nutrients. And slowly but surely, it springs back to life. So when you think, why is my mom upset and grouchy and always bitching? I promise you, she feels like nobody is listening or has never paid attention or listened to her. So the next time somebody's complaining, that some people are just constantly complaining, right? We all need to vent. Hello, right? That's just part of life. But we all know that person that's just grouchy from the time they get up till the time they go to bed, and you can't even hardly stand to be around them because they're such an energy sucker, right? And I've done these little tiny things to people just to see. People that you work with. People that you meet. Giving them an ounce of emotional support and validation and acceptance and listening. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them. right? They're looking at the world with their experiences, and you're looking through the world with yours. An ounce of kindness. Hey, yeah, I can understand why you're upset. Totally. I get it, you know? And it's going to be okay. Set the tone of how you want your relationships to be. How do you want your relationship to be? Do you want it to be kind? Do you want it to be loving? Do you want it to be strong? Do you want it to be filled with animosity and hatred and resentfulness? And, you know, this tit for tat. Well, he did this, so I'm going to do that. How fucking petty. You know, it took, and I've had to do this and say, I am so sorry for doing this to you, for behaving this way, for not really listening and paying attention. People do a 180 when you do that. I would say most times, not all the time, because sometimes you really fuck up. And you've been doing it for so long, there's no turning back. Or you keep doing the same thing, like serial cheaters or serial liars or, you know, whatever it is. Any toxic behaviors. But I want you to think about that today, again. Because I have to keep reminding myself as well sometimes, because sometimes I want to beat my head against the wall with somebody that I care about and I'm not understanding why they're doing the things that they do. And I think, because I'm a wall. To them, I'm a wall. The things that I'm saying and the things I'm displaying are a wall. I'm being the wall. How do I stop being the wall? And then I have to put some thought and some effort into it. And then, you've all heard this saying, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And the second I do that, I'm like, oh, damn. This is why I can't get along with them. And I discover more about myself when I do that. When I put myself in somebody else's shoes and what they're going through in the moment or at the time. Situational, how would I react? What would I do? What would I need? What would I want? And that changes my whole attitude about that person. And then the universe provides a time and a space to confront that and embrace it and hold it and love it and nurture it and just be there. When you really want something, the universe will provide that time and that space. It knows better than me. So I just gently ask it, hey, when you see fit, if you could please help me with that, I'd greatly appreciate it. And I had to learn patience and grace with that and not force it down somebody's throat. You're going to listen and you're going to listen now. Instead, please present me with an opportunity to make this right. So I can help this person and myself move forward. Because we should always be wanting to move forward. That is not to say without rest. Rest is not quitting. Rest means not right now. That's all it means. Rest means not right now.